Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Idaho House Education Committee votes to recommend repealing all K-12 standards. University of Idaho Young Democrats plan protests tonight against Pastor Doug Wilson, who's giving a speech called The Lost Virtues of Sexism. Moscow plans flood risk study, and private ambulance company representative warns Moscow City Council that the Moscow Volunteer Ambulance Service is understaffed. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The University of Idaho Young Democrats are planning a protest against local Pastor Doug Wilson's planned speech at the Pittman Center called The Lost Virtue of Sexism. The protest is planned for 6:30 p.m. at West 6th and Deacon Streets inside the Pittman Center, and Pastor Wilson's speech is scheduled for 7 p.m. in one of the two ballrooms there. Pastor Wilson of Christ Church has made himself a lightning rod for controversy at times over the last two decades in Moscow for his views on gender, marriage, homosexuality, and apparent attempts at church members controlling downtown commerce and politics in the city. The Young Democrats are publicizing a quote on gender from Wilson, which says women were created to be dependent and responsive to a man. Other quotes include one that says feminists seek to rob women of their beauty in submission. Women should only be allowed to date or court with their father's permission and then only with other Christians. And another quote on the Young Democrats Facebook page from Wilson says, if a woman is raped, the rapist should pay the father a bride price, and then, if the father approves, marry his victim. The Idaho House Education Committee adjourned today without holding a planned vote on K-12 science, math, and English language arts standards. They did hold a party line vote on repealing all of Idaho's current standards for use in teacher and school administrator certification. State Board of Education Chief Planning and Policy Officer Tracy Bent told reporters at the state capitol today the board has not had an opportunity to meet yet and discuss all of the implications of not having the standards in place. Historically, they have felt it was important to have a uniform measure for evaluating these programs. The standards are for training teachers on how to individualize their instruction and how to recognize when students are having problems with learning material. Republican Representative Gary Marshall of Idaho Falls pushed for the vote to repeal the standards. According to the Idaho Education News, Marshall admitted he hadn't spoken to any teacher preparatory deans at any colleges or universities in the state about removing the standards, except for the dean at Brigham Young University, Idaho. Marshall said, by us removing the standards right now, it won't change anything. People have clearly these standards in mind with their programs right now. The Idaho House State Affairs Committee yesterday approved a revised version of a bill requiring those who vote in a presidential primary to register as members of the party they're going to cast ballots in for at least 3 months before the primary. The new version of the bill takes effect for the 2024 presidential primaries in Idaho. Bill sponsor Republican Representative Doug Ricks of Rexburg said he changed his bill because if the bill were to take effect this year, many who wanted to vote in the Democratic primary March 10th would have been disenfranchised this year. Democrats and independents in Idaho sometimes register as Republicans so they can vote in numerous contested Republican primaries around the state, while there are few contested Democratic primaries in Idaho. This year, the reverse is true for the presidential primary. Observers say none of the challengers in the Republican presidential primary are a serious contender to incumbent Donald Trump, while the Democratic primary is expected to be highly contested because there is no clear frontrunner among the Democratic presidential candidates. Under current rules, Republicans do not allow people who are not registered Republicans to vote in the even-year primaries held in May in Idaho, and Republicans in the Idaho legislature want the same rule to apply during their presidential primaries. Democrats allow any voter to vote in their primaries, although no voter can vote in a single primary for more than one party. The measure now goes to the House floor. The Idaho House voted 52-18 yesterday in favor of a plan by House Transportation Committee Chair Joe Palmer of Meridian to double the percentage of sales tax money diverted into the transportation budget from 1% to 2%. That would provide an additional $18 million annually to transportation projects that would normally stay in the state's general fund. Before the vote, Representative Palmer noted the $18 million was a small portion of the state's annual revenue of $1.9 billion. Palmer said, "I think we've proved that it does not have any effect on anything else, so we're asking for 1% more to go into that fund so that they can take care of our roads all across the state of Idaho." According to an account of the floor debate in the Idaho Press, Democratic Representative John Gannon of Boise spoke against the bill because the state has already put hundreds of millions of dollars into roads since 2015 and because the general fund is under considerable pressure. Gannon noted there has been a 7 cents per gallon gas tax increase implemented since then. Gannon said, "There are alternative funding mechanisms that we really haven't explored as a state and as a legislature, and that includes impact fees. New growth should help pay for itself." District 5 Republican legislators Bill Gosling of Moscow and Carolyn Troy of Genesee voted in favor. On Friday, Idaho Transportation Department Director Brian Ness said Idaho roads are more dangerous. Ness told the Idaho Press, "Drivers are more distracted than ever before, and I think technology may be to blame for much of that. Our position is that every driver should focus on driving. We're trying to change people's behavior. Put away the distractions, focus in the moment, focus on the driving." The Washington House Environment and Energy Committee held a hearing on a bill yesterday which would include direct and indirect greenhouse gas emissions under the state's Clean Air Rule. The bill is a response to a state Supreme Court ruling in January that said the state ecology department only has the legal authority to regulate actual emitters of air pollutants, not the manufacturers, importers, and sellers of petroleum and natural gas. Governor Jay Inslee's senior policy advisor on climate and energy affairs said, "There can be no real logical reason that the legislature would intend for ecology to have the authority to regulate some of the state's major greenhouse emissions while leaving the vast majority unaddressed. Making this fix is really a matter of fairness." The Pullman City Council tonight has four discussion items on tonight's agenda. The discussions will be on a complete streets draft ordinance and draft policy, a city safety program grant application to the Washington Transportation Department, the Parks, Facilities, and Recreation Comprehensive 5-Year Plan, and council member assignments to boards, commissions, and committees. The council will also entertain motions to nominate a mayor pro tem and an alternate mayor pro tem. The Pullman City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. During the public comment period of last night's Moscow City Council meeting, a representative for a local private ambulance company indicated Moscow citizens may not know that they are in danger because of low staffing levels at the volunteer city-run ambulance service, which is known as the City of Moscow EMS Division. PAC DMS agency administrator Kelly Zachariasen started by praising the volunteers who do emergency medical and ambulance work for the city.
"I first want to praise the hardworking volunteer EMTs and paramedics in our city. They give countless hours in training and service for their community while trying to maintain balance between their home life, their jobs, and the demands of an increasing volume of EMS calls. Perhaps too much is asked of our volunteers from time to time. City of Moscow EMS Division Chief Karskalin oversees the volunteers in the Ambulance Company Division of the private nonprofit Volunteer Fire Department of Moscow, Idaho, Incorporated. Her email dated December 31st, 2019, reveals that the ambulance company shifts were, quote, empty, mostly empty, and states that they are, quote, failing as a volunteer agency. The citizens of Moscow are not aware of the danger they face. The public expects an ambulance to come when they call 911, but they might not get one, and they deserve to be made aware of that fact. As first responders, we are trained to assess the emergency medical needs of our patients, but must also be able to evaluate the effectiveness of our EMS systems. EMS Division Chief Karskalin was recently nationally recognized for her achievements as Paramedic of the Year. So I trust her when she calls into question that the EMS system in Moscow may be failing. People trust their city representatives to make the best decisions regarding public safety. By what standard do city officials measure and evaluate the effectiveness of their current EMS system? Volunteers may not be able to respond with an ambulance to a medical emergency, and if none can, who will? PACT EMS staffs 2 to 3 ALS paramedic level crews on duty in any 24/7 period. We are always in service, and we are capable of meeting the demands for emergency medical services in Moscow. We have dedicated ourselves to the saving of lives and the preservation of health. This is our community, too, and we stand ready to serve.
That was Kelly Zachariasen of the private ambulance and EMS company PACT EMS speaking at last night's city council meeting. After Zachariasen spoke, Mayor Bill Lambert asked City Supervisor Gary Riedner if there has been an incident where the Moscow EMS division had not been able to respond to an emergency call. Here's Gary Riedner.
No, I believe there have been some situations where there may have been a delay, but we've always been able to staff, according to the chief and Debbie Karskalin. That doesn't mean during sometimes vacations mainly, there may be reduced response, but the fire department's been able to cover those calls and has historically.
That was Gary Riedner at last night's city council meeting. That was the extent of the discussion last night, although often the mayor will consider questions and comments during the public comment period of a city council meeting and respond during the next city council meeting, usually about 2 weeks later. The Moscow City Council last night voted unanimously to enter into an agreement with the Federal Emergency Management Agency to identify where there may be future flooding problems in the city near Paradise Creek. The vote was to approve a sub-recipient agreement with the Federal Emergency Management Agency for $295,000 to assess and identify potential flood mitigation actions. The total cost of the study would be $394,000 with a $98,000 local match. The local match would include $47,000 in cash, $41,600 in city staff in-kind labor, and $10,000 for pre-application engineering. Here's Community Planning and Design Deputy City Supervisor Bill Belknap at last night's City Council meeting.
The area that would be studied includes starts here up about Darby Road, so here's Mountain View Park, kind of in the northeast corner of town. We'd be upstream from that, from the Darby Road crossing, all the way down to the Troy Highway crossing. And this is the areas along Paradise Creek that we have the most extensive flooding within the community. The study will explore potential flood hazard mitigation alternatives, determine what might be the most viable option for the city to pursue to help address and minimize these flooding issues. It is clear there is not going to be a silver bullet that will address all flooding events or all flows, but we can certainly work to lessen the impacts, especially of the smaller flooding events that the city incurs. So that area would then go from Mountain View Park to the Troy Highway. It would include field survey of current channel conditions, assessment of the hydrologic conditions within the watershed, as well as the development of the hydraulic model to understand how flooding events occur and respond in the community. A number of alternatives will then be assessed and determined to assess their effectiveness and mitigation of their property damage within the impacted area. Once a preferred alternative is then selected, the study would develop a 30% design in order to get through the review and environmental review process with FEMA, as well as complete the benefit cost analysis that looks at the potential reduction of property damage relative to the proposed construction cost or long-term maintenance costs of the selected alternative. So this study could then be utilized by the city. If we do identify viable options that we could reduce flooding risk within the community, then we could take the results of the study and pursue a funding for actual construction of those measures.
That was Moscow Community Planning and Design Deputy City Supervisor Bill Belknap speaking at last night's City Council meeting. Belknap said the Federal Emergency Management Agency encouraged the city to apply for a flood hazard mitigation grant after flooding along Paradise Creek in the spring of 2017. During a later agenda item, Mayor Bill Lambert commented about flooding in the city.
Last year we did have a flood in 2019, and the previous one was in 1996. We had a 23-year stretch. And one thing I've lived here long enough to know is that, oh, my God, I hope that we don't have another one for at least 23 years. Who knows? I mean, these things just happen, and they usually come at the most least expected time for us.
That was Mayor Bill Lambert. In other business, the City Council unanimously approved a hazard mitigation actions list as part of the Latah County All Hazard Mitigation Plan Project Update. City staff distributed a request from the county for updated action lists to the Police, Fire, Information Services, Public Works, Planning, Engineering, and Parks departments. Inclusion of the mitigation actions in the plan will allow the city to continue to receive various grant funds for emergency response planning and equipment, and will assist the city in pursuing additional grant funding for the identified projects in the future. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, there will be a winter storm warning that will remain in effect until noon tomorrow. It's already in effect. Heavy snow expected. Total snow accumulations 5 to 10 inches. This warning is for Moscow, Worley, Plummer, Potlatch, Genesee, Post Falls, Hayden, and Coeur d'Alene. Travel could be very difficult to impossible. The hazardous conditions could impact today's afternoon commute and especially the Wednesday morning commute. Light snow will increase in intensity after midnight. The heaviest snow will fall Wednesday morning. If you must travel, people should keep an extra flashlight, food, and water in their vehicle in case of an emergency. There's also the more widespread hazardous weather outlook for central and eastern Washington and northern and north central Idaho. Several inches of snow will bring the potential for a treacherous Wednesday morning commute. People should be prepared for slow travel and leave extra time to arrive at their destinations. The forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area is calling for 100% chance of snow tonight. Snow could be heavy at times, low 28, total accumulation overnight 3 to 5 inches. Tomorrow, 100% chance of precipitation, snow before 9 a.m., then rain and snow before noon, then rain afternoon. Snow could be heavy at times, snow level rising to 3,800 feet in the afternoon, high 39, southeast winds 5 to 10 becoming southwest in the afternoon, gusting up to 20. Total daytime snow accumulation tomorrow, 1 to 3 inches. Wednesday night, 70% chance of rain, snow level 5,000 feet, cloudy low 36, west winds around 10, gusts up to 30 miles an hour, and on Thursday, 70% chance of rain, cloudy high 44 and breezy, west winds 10 to 20 miles an hour, gusts up to 30 miles an hour, up to a quarter inch of rain possible. Currently 27 degrees. The Idaho 511 website shows that U.S. Highway 95 south of Moscow towards the Lewiston grade is currently rated as difficult driving conditions with a weather warning. North of Moscow and U.S. Highway 95 to a point north of Plummer, it's fair driving conditions, but also with a weather advisory. And then closer to Coeur d'Alene, it's once again difficult driving conditions. the Washington Department of Transportation real-time road condition report is showing that U.S. Highway 95 between Rosalia and Spokane has areas of snow, slush, and ice. And U.S. Highway 195 between Pullman and Rosalia, snow-covered and light drifting in places. U.S. Highway 195, south of Pullman to the Idaho state line, snow-covered. Well, if you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. Coming up next, our weekly documentary of Making Contact, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And at 7:30, John Ander checks in with Labor Lines, music and news from the labor movement. All here at KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.
The telecom industry has been pushing 5G wireless technology hard, but they're not telling the whole story. Dr. Martin Paul isn't afraid to shine a bright light on the dark side of the wireless industry's push for 5G. You can come hear Paul on Wednesday, February 5th at 7 p.m. at the University of Idaho College of Law Menard Courtroom. His presentation will be 5G, what the wireless industry doesn't want you to know. Paul is a Wazoo Biochemistry and Basic Medical Sciences Professor Emeritus. He has been speaking out about what he sees as an imminent threat to human and animal life from 5G. The Palouse Environmental Sustainability Coalition and Palouse Area Citizens for Safe Electricity want you to get the real story behind 5G. That's Wednesday, February 5th, 7 p.m., U of I College of Law Menard Courtroom.